Can you hear me out there with this this thing on here? All right. Woo! Love that worship. It's so wonderful to be able to see your demeanor as when you start to worship and you start to praise the Lord out there, and how you start to relax in His presence. And that's what church should be. We should be able to come and relax in His presence and just enjoy who He is. Because our lives are so busy and rushing, and it causes us to miss things. If you're in the children's church, you may join the children's leaders as they head out towards the church. No, we have it all down. And I know if I miss it, I've got you, baby, to remind me. So we thank you. Lord, I ask you just to bless those children as they go out to learn about you and develop those relationships and feel your presence of love through the teachers. Lord, I ask you to give the wisdom and may your Spirit speak through them today. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow. Well, I'm excited. I'm excited for today. We have what I hope this message comes and it encourages us to see Jesus in a deeper light than maybe we did before coming in today, and being able to share Him with other people in a way that is maybe a little bit clearer for us at times, and maybe just a little bit deeper than what we might have understood before. That's what I hope any time I come to church, that the Lord speaks to my heart in such a way that I draw closer to Him. So when I get to prepare and He uses words that He speaks to me and He draws me closer to Him, I get so excited, because that's what I want, is to know Him deeper and know Him a little bit better than I did before. Before spending time with Him. So we had talked about last week in some of the feasts that were coming up, and if you remember, Rosh Hashanah was celebrated on Wednesday evening and Thursday morning, or Thursday, as the first day of the Jewish New Year. And then there was this could potentially be a Revelation 12 fulfillment that was in on the last night in the stars, and we're just waiting. There's a lot of different interpretations that have come out with God was going to come back and take us as a rapture that day. We are here, so we know that wasn't the case. But what we need to, when we see certain events in the stars, some people believe that the Lord's going to use the stars, some people don't, and that's okay. But I'm always actively watching and looking and seeking what God might do and how He might be speaking to us. So I was looking at that night yesterday to see, and I'm just anticipating it for quite some time, to see what God might do. So what I do with these events is I hold them up and say, Lord, you just show me what it is. Because a lot of times it's in hindsight that we see and understand what God has done. And this is one of those cases. So I'm going to look at, I'm going to hold it up, and I'm going to see what different natural and political and events that take place that are maybe abnormal. So that's what I would encourage us all to do, is to look for maybe some abnormal things that might take place in the days to come. If this was a symbol for us to be looking for more signs of His return, because that's what I'm looking for, signs of His return and how to live life today to the fullest for Him. Isn't that what we're trying to do as believers? It sure is. It sure is. So this week, if you find something, read something, hear about something that is abnormal, email me. Send that to me. I make notes, and I put these things off to the side and just look and see what God might be speaking through these different events. So that will be that'll be an encouraging thing for me. And as we come into the message today, isn't it good to be at peace with others? Isn't it good to be, just have a peaceful disposition with other people? Isn't that great? Well, you know, sometimes we're in situations where that just isn't the case, that there's some tension and there's frustration, and that could be with a family member, it could be with your spouse, it could be with your children, friends, you name it, situations happen, and it's very uncomfortable, isn't it? But when you make reconciliation, there's a peace that takes place, and that peace is so enjoyable. It's so much enjoyable in that relationship, isn't it? Because then you know we have a new beginning in this relationship, and we have peace where we can grow together. Isn't that great? But there's this newness that takes place, that of better hopeful days to come. And There's a day that's going to be celebrated called Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement, and you might have heard of this day before. It's in Scripture and of the Jewish people, but this was their day of reconciliation with God, and once again, and a new starting point for their relationship with God. It's a very, very important celebrated day, more so than any day of the year. It was a day that they would sacrifice animals all year long for atoning for sins, but this day showed that all those sacrifices that they did were irrelevant. They didn't do the job. But for this particular day, this sacrificial day outweighed them all. So this was on the 10th day of Tishri, which is going to be the 29th and the 30th. Of our September. This year it's going to be celebrated. And I think it's really important that we look back at the Jewish calendar and we look back at the different Jewish feasts, because we understand Scripture better, we understand Jesus better in understanding who the Messiah is and what he's taken place, the more we know and understand about these feasts. So we're going to learn a little bit about it today. So that's the Friday and Saturday, the 29th and 30th, because the Jewish day starts on that evening of the night before, so our evening tonight would begin another day for them. And it would carry on into the next day. And it happens to be on the Sabbath, Saturday this year, so Friday night into Sabbath Saturday. So it would be an extra, extra special day of celebration, and we'll get to that a little bit later in the message. But if you'd like to stand, I only have two verses to read here, so there's a couple different little sections of verses that I'm going to read. So you may stand in the first one. Other than that, you'll be up and down, up and down, up and down. So we're going to be in Leviticus 23:26, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "On exactly the 10th day of this 7th month is the Day of Atonement. It shall be a holy convocation for you, and you shall humble your souls and present an offering by fire to the Lord." I'm going to read a couple more verses as we come through with this one. "And you shall not do any work on this same day, for this day is the Day of Atonement, to make atonement on your behalf before the Lord your God. If there is any person who will not humble himself on this same day, he shall be cut off from his people. As for any person who does any work on this day, same day, that person I will destroy from among his people. You shall do no work at all. It is a perpetual statute throughout your generations in all your dwelling places. It is to be a Sabbath of complete rest to you. And you shall humble your souls on the ninth of the month, on the night of the month at evening, and until, I'm sorry, the ninth of the month at evening, until the evening you shall come, you shall keep your Sabbath." You may go ahead, you can maybe be seated. Next year, it won't be celebrated on the Friday into the Saturday evening, so it'll be, I believe it was a Tuesday and a Wednesday. They would hold that day on a Tuesday and a Wednesday as if it were a Sabbath day, absolutely no work on that day. So it happening this Sabbath time frame for them, it's kind of a double blessing, a double looking to the Lord on this. As we look at this day, atonement is a state of being reconciled with another. And this Day of Atonement was a special day that God set apart from all of these other celebrations, that he wanted the people to be reconciled to him once again from all the brokenness of their sin. Anything that they have done throughout the year, this was the day that said, we're going to make it all right, so we can start a brand new for the next day. And the next day, somebody probably be bringing back something to sacrifice, because we know that we have sinful hearts, don't we? And we are prone to not look at God in the light that he should be looked in. We don't hold him in the respect that he should be respected. And by that, we fail in our own flesh. And we would, if we were in the Jewish culture, we would bring a lamb the next day and sacrifice it, or bring whatever we could, if it was pigeons or something else, and we would sacrifice it to the Lord, saying, "God, please forgive me, for my heart is wretched and evil towards you, but I want to have that relationship with you." So this Day of Atonement is a great thing. when you look at the Jewish people, they would see this Day of Atonement and they would say, God, I want a relationship with you. And I would venture to say that everybody in this room wants a relationship with God, or you wouldn't be here. But we do have struggles. We do fail in our own flesh. But we have a hope. Because this Day of Atonement gave hope to the people that God said, I will walk with you again. If you do these things with me, I will walk with you again. And they would come and follow what God would say. And we'll go through what the day would look like a little bit later. So he says that, it's celebrated on the seventh month, which represents completeness. Because God created the creation on 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested. So there's this idea of completeness. We have that seven is that number. It also is the month that it closes the festival cycle. If you remember from last week, I showed a picture of when we would start in the day of Nisan, the first festival time with Passover, and then we would carry through. Well, the seventh month is going to be the ending of the feast times, which is going to be the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast of Booths, which is going to be 4 or 5. It's going to be 5 days after the Day of Atonement. So we have this ending of the festival feasts. God gives three stipulations to the people in these verses of things that they need to do. Humble yourself, bring an offering, and no work. And we're going to see this parallel that God uses the feasts to show about the Messiah and about the story about his salvation work for us and the return of him later on. He tells us a story through all the feasts. They needed to bring an atoning sacrifice, and Jesus is our atoning sacrifice. We're going to see that they have to bring that offering, where they have to humble themselves, right? When we come to know Jesus, like, God, I need you. And as they come and they bring this offering, God, I need you. I need you for things that I can't do. So they bring this offering, they're going to bring it to the high priest, and Jesus is our high priest because he's the one who officiates the sacrifice for us, which is himself. And then they're not to do any work. God does it all, doesn't he? He paid for all of our sins on the cross. I don't need to do anything except come humbly before him, bring the offering of myself, but his offering covers all my sin. So if today, as we go through this message, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you'll see a picture of God giving himself for you so that you can be reconciled to him again, so you can be atoned, you can have a cleansing, so you can have a relationship, an absolutely new beginning with him today. And all you have to do is rest. Come, offer yourself, let him cover you, and rest the rest of your life in his goodness. Isn't that beautiful? It's a beautiful feast that he says a perpetual statute throughout all the generations. He does not want anybody to forget this. Isn't it easy for us to forget things? I forget things all the time. Even important events, like birthdays, you would never think you'd forget a birthday. But when the day passes and you remember, oh, I forgot to call and say happy birthday. Even important events, anniversaries, it can happen. Forget about an anniversary. Important events that take place, birth, life, situations where you could have almost died, healings that take place, things that are very important that we can kind of forget those if we don't celebrate them. And God says, I don't want you to forget this day. This is a very important day. So they are to humble themselves before the Lord. And then they are to do no work for the Lord on this day. Because this third stipulation, as we go jump down to the third one, God is very distinct on what he wants and what he doesn't want. And work is a representation of what they came out of from Egypt. Because God's telling the people, this is what I would like you to do in the feast. And he explains all the feasts relatively short time after they came out of Egypt, so they would remember that we came from a bondage place, a place where I had to work. I had to do things. I was in chains. Egypt represents that work. I can do this on my own, God. Sin is encapsulating and unfreeing, with Pharaoh not letting the people go. But God brought a deliverer in Moses. So as he brings that deliverer, there's no work. Moses didn't command the people to go back and start working the fields and start building things. It was a time of now celebration. We've been brought out of this bondage into freedom. So God wants people to remember, on this day, you are to remember my freedom that I've given to you. It is not your abilities that is going to bring salvation to you. And he has to drill this in. And he drills it in very, very... We could look at it and say, oh, God, you're pretty harsh on this one. Because later on he says that if there's any person who will not humble himself on this day, if I'm not going to come and say, I need you, God, I really need you, God, then he's going to cut him off from the people because he doesn't want that relationship. So if you're here today and in your hearts, God, I really don't need you. I really don't. Then you've cut yourself off of this relationship that God wants with you. God's not doing it. You're cutting off the relationship yourself because you're saying, I don't need you. I don't need you that badly. And as we grow in our Christian walk, the more we realize I need God in every single moment of the day, the better off we are. The more I realize how weak I am and how much I really, really need him. So if somebody does not come and want to humble themselves, God, I need you, then you're cutting yourself off. But he shows this is what's going to happen. I'll make it very clear to you. I will cut you off because you don't want me. He also says, if you do work on this day, I will destroy from among his people. If you're not going to listen to me, how important this day is, and you're going to disrespect it, I'll destroy you from it. Because again, I don't really care. Do we do this in our lives sometimes? You know, God, I want to follow you. But you know what? That's too much of a sacrifice. You know, I know you say not to do that, but I'm going to go ahead and do it anyways because it's not that bad. Doesn't mean that much. Can we dumb down God a little bit? What God says is important. Say, it's not that important. God, come on now. I mean, come on. Is it really that important that I should not look at a girl with lustful eyes? Is it really not that important? In the inkling of our hearts, or in girls back to guys. Girls looking at guys with a selfish desirous in their heart. It's just okay. It's okay for me to dabble in areas that is not, that you wouldn't be doing, you wouldn't be walking along with me in these particular areas. Isn't it easy for us to do that? And God is saying, I want all of you. Not just what you want to give me. I want everything. So if you're going to go ahead and work, if you're going to go ahead and, even in our Christian walk, if I have this heart in me that says I need to make myself presentable before God before he's going to accept me. I need to make sure that I don't have X, Y, and Z sins in my life before he's even going to want to be around me. Then I'm doing a work. I'm not trusting in his atoning work in my life. I haven't come humbly before him yet. I'm still trying to do my own. I'm still trying to make myself beautiful enough before he will even accept me. And he's saying, you know what? You're wretched and you're full of sin. You can't make yourself more beautiful than what you are right now. But I'll take you. I'll make atonement for you if you just come humbly before me. Just call out to me. And I hope within our own selves right now we have this wow, God, your love is so great, and it's exciting. It's something I want to share with somebody else, because our world so often wants to seek after pleasure. And as you're sharing Jesus with other people and your life with other people, they say, "Hey, you know, I'm just not good enough for God to even want me." And you're like, "Wow, you're missing it. You're missing it." God wants you exactly the way you are, because He's the one who's going to change you. You can't change yourself. He's going to give you His Holy Spirit, and He's going to transform your life. But just come to Him just as you are. Just come to Him just the way you are, and let Him be who He is, and cover you and atone you for your sin, and draw you into this relationship with Him. So God wants the people to see, I value this day. Do not do things that the world would do. Hold it. It's holy to me. It's very separate. I want you to see this, that it's separate. Almost like a parent when a child is going to do something that you're not supposed to do. Like if you touch that stovetop that's hot, you're going to get really in trouble. There's going to be a consequence. It's going to be hard. If you do that, it's going to be spanking, and it's going to be on that hand. So you don't do it again. I don't want you to touch it to burn yourself. But the consequences are going to be harder for that than if you snuck in and got a chocolate chip cookie when you weren't supposed to. That's what I used to do. Consequences weren't as rough than the other. So God is showing that the consequences are very, very difficult. They're harsh.